Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
Never go outside without a gun in 1887 or whenever this is.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media from our shared childhood. My name is Amy, proud Gen Xer, born in 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
What up, Jen?
Oh, God, it took me like 35 minutes to get this set up today.
Jenny's at my house. It's Thanksgiving, but by the time you guys hear this, it will be...
a couple weeks after.
Approximately December 5th.
Okay. Oh, can I tell you that someone, I won't mention their names, but friends of mine, were talking about, someone mentioned Pearl Harbor Day and they didn't know when it was.
It's December 7th, 1941.
I know. Do people not know that?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like Graham was fixated on that. So, like, we knew it, but. That's a big thing.
It happened. This is how I remember it. So
this is how you remember it.
Gen X pro tip. This is how to remember the date of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, because I'm like, I feel like you don't remember it.
It occurred on the day before John Lennon was assassinated.
Who the hell's going to remember that?
The day after, the year after he was born.
No one remembers or cares about that.
He was born in 1940. Pearl Harbor happened in 1941. He was assassinated on December 8th. Pearl Harbor happened on December 7th.
No one cares.
I beg to differ. I think I mean, if you have to, fans care.
But you understand that if you have to remember, that's not a good like memory device, because if you have to then remember John Lennon's birthday.
It's a mnemonic device for the people who are obsessed with John Lennon.
I get, okay, so that's a real specific crowd of like you.
Yeah, it is. It is. Jenny, what are your thoughts on... I can't do Twitter. I feel like we twittered out. That's over. By the time you guys hear this, it's probably gone.
I mean, maybe Twitter's gone. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on The Crown?
Oh, it's good. So Amy and I are watching the new season of The Crown. Season 5? It's good. I just can't believe that dude plays Charles. Like, in no reality is Charles that good looking.
So if you haven't been paying attention, I'm obsessed with the show The Affair. But most people probably know him from The Wire, which I never saw.
I never saw The Wire, and Dad like loves that show.
Everybody obsesses over it. They're like, it's so great, and you and I have never seen it.
So many people are like, that's the best show ever made, period, end of sentence.
Maybe we'll do that on Patreon someday.
We're going to do The Wire. Okay.
I guarantee you now we'll have 10 comments in the Mimi Beast telling us to do The Wire. Anyway.
Two middle-aged white women talking about The Wire. Let's sign up for that.
Anyway, Noah from The Affair plays Charles, and it really has me conflicted because I'm so attracted to him, but I hate Charles so much.
Right. But I like how they tried to ugly him up like a little bit, but like didn't work.
A little bit.
It didn't work.
A little bit. I like how we're watching this, and if you guys don't remember, Diana did like a tell-all book, but like, you know, did it via tape, which, Jen, how did you feel about that?
Well, you just don't have your live voice recorded anywhere as I sit here having my live voice recorded for eternity.
Do not commit to tape anything.
Do not
ever.
Commit to tape. Commit to digital like we are.
So she did tell a book with this dude, and every time he showed up on screen, he had like slick back hair and glasses, and Jenny was calling him a Poindexter.
I don't know why. That's like
she's
a
like,
thing.
Who's this Poindexter?
I don't even know where that comes from or what it means. Like, I know what it means, but like, I don't know where that saying came from. Oh shit! I didn't do an index card.
Oh great. Okay.
I'll have to record it after.
Ooh, we'll make one up. We'll make one.
No,
up
I know
in
what
real
I want
time.
To do. It
no, we'll do one in real time.
Oh god, fuck. Okay.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. We'll do
it live. There you go. Amy's been dying to say that. She was just telling me about that yesterday. We'll do it live. I'll
Guys,
do it live.
Come at us if you know. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Come at me if you know where that's from. Because if you know, you know.
Oh my god, you were just going off about this yesterday.
Yes, I was. But anyway, back to The Crown. It's so well done.
Unlike this podcast.
Storylines together. I mean, I don't know who's writing this shit, but it's amazing. It's not Michael Landon.
You think? He's dead, first of all. It'd be really hard for him to write this.
It's not Dom Ballack. We are Mark safe from him.
The other thing that I'm watching that is so well written and so well done is written by Mike White, is White Lotus. So good.
Yeah, that's really good. And you're watching your autobiographic film Wednesday.
It's not a film, it's a show.
Wednesday.
And I have, it's really, I love Tim Burton.
Do you,
it's
do
really
you
good.
Feel seen when Wednesday
I feel,
like
it makes me happy.
And burning shit?
It makes me chuckle and it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I have a quote from that show for you.
Okay,
I just
ahead.
Saw that like episode 1 and 2. So she's a writer. She's trying to be a writer. I mean, she's a teenager, but she's trying to be a writer.
I was going
to
say, is she young still?
She's like 15.
Okay, so she's doing the teen angst writing. Okay.
Yeah, she's like familiar. In high school. I would say like she's in high school. I don't know how old, but she would be in high school.
Okay.
And her psychologist was asking her if she submitted her writing like to get published.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what she had to say about editors.
Oh boy.
Editors are short-sighted, fear-based life forms.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I thought you might appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
As a writer.
Yes, I appreciate that. Listen, I'm not a grammarian, so editors are
a
crucial
grammarian.
To me.
A grammarian.
Yes, I'm
you
not
just
a grammarian.
Said grammarian.
So editors
I'm
are
shutting
crucial
it down.
To my
I'm
process.
Shutting it down. I'm shutting this down.
But I will say that they can also be exactly what Wednesday described them as. All right, guys, just so you know, we watched this episode together. So it'll
but
be interesting.
We didn't talk about it.
We kept like, and I'd be like, save it, save it. So.
And I'd be like, but. She's like, no. And I'd be like, why? No, stop.
So we're talking today about Little House on the Prairie, Season 9, Episode 9, Empire Builders. Jenny, do you have a description?
Of course not.
Because we know you don't have an index
I'm
card.
I'm completely, like, I'm just not prepared for this because I got thrown into all this mm-hmm. and my mic didn't work and I had to do mm-hmm. all this stuff
mm-hmm.
and I'm just not my regular studio
mm-hmm.
and Amy's making me do stuff. What's
I put her
doing?
To work when she gets here. Guys, we got lost in an arcade yesterday at the mall. Like, we were in the mall and we found an arcade. Wandered in. We're the only people in there, pretty much.
We were playing Guitar Hero. We were playing Terminator. We were playing Deal No Deal.
I'm obsessed with Deal or No Deal.
Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the premise for that was so simple.
I shredded you on Guitar Hero.
Well, okay, so in full disclosure, I hate to take. I didn't want to say this, Aim, because it takes your thunder away. But I think one of my buttons didn't work.
Yeah, okay.
I want you to think you won, fair and square.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, hit us with that description. Come on.
Having a railroad built to pass directly through Walnut Grove sounds like a wonderful idea for many town residents, particularly since it would increase the size and popularity of the area.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Okay, they're phoning the description.
They are. Like, if you look at the ones for season 1 and 2, they're, like, really nice and well-written, and then there's, like, 2 sentences. That don't make sense.
This is the skeleton crew, guys.
They're phoning in season 9 hard, and so are we.
Hard. All right, so we open on a train station. I just wrote, where's Paul? Where is he? Where is he? Like, when I see a train, I need to see him adjacent to it.
Well, I told her, I'm like, he's not even, all he's doing is executive producing this stuff now. His name is nowhere else. He's not even producing. He's executive producing, which means he's writing a check.
I wonder if he's on to Highway to Heaven at this point. Highway to Heaven.
I don't know.
Pause. Okay, we're back. Go ahead, Jane.
Highway to Heaven started in 1984.
Oh, so no. So this was 82.
He could be writing it, though.
You don't think that takes 15 minutes?
That's true. We didn't take 15 minutes to write Highway to Heaven.
All right. So there's a lot of train talk and, hey, everybody, and Edwards pull up. When we saw, hey, everybody, we were like, oh, God.
All I said to Amy was, how do you spell doofus?
If you're new here, hey, everybody is manly. And I realize that I say that all the time without even saying his real name. So, if, like, somebody's just jumping in on this episode, they're going to have no idea who I'm talking about.
They're going to have no idea what's happening.
So the long and short of it is, Almanzo, when he first came on, not only was he a terrible actor, we love you, Dean Butler, nothing against you. But he was just, like, they just wrote that character as shit. And he just had this weird voice. And he was always like, hey, I'm here. Like, just this weird high-pitched voice. So I started doing it as, hey, everybody! And that's how it came to be.
This would be the equivalent if somebody was, like, talking about, like, if someone had a podcast about a podcast, which I still kind of want to do, just to be that person who has a podcast
about
a podcast.
I would love to do that, podcasts about podcasts.
But, like, that would be like if someone was like, Amy's a terrible podcaster. No offense against you, Amy, we love you.
Well, let me just say this. Dean Butler is a good human. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right. Take that. Please run that clip. Because, again, guys, trying to land an interview with him.
He's not going to talk to you after all of this.
Oh, and I do have, wait, breaking news. Breaking news. If you recall, we revisited you being packed in ice several times.
Oh, my God. Are we still
and
on
Mom
this?
Said she did not remember it. Remember?
Yeah, Mom doesn't remember our childhood. Okay. Surprise.
Mom had a revelation the other day and called me up to say, I remember Jenny being packed in ice now.
How did she regain that memory?
But she said in the emergency room, they packed you in ice to bring your fever down.
Yes.
When you went upstairs into your own room, you were put in an ice tent.
Wow.
There was like a tent and then ice in it. Mom's going, they put her in this thing. It was a tent and it had ice in it. I'm going, an ice tent? She's like, yes.
Well, I feel like an ice tent is different. To me, an ice tent is a tent made of ice.
Oh, whatever. So you heard it here first, guys. Breaking news. Jenny was indeed packed in ice.
Okay. I was in a refrigerated tent also, apparently.
Because I was thinking of Manly being packed in ice. And come on.
Why didn't they just give me Advil?
I don't know. Anyway, because the railroad is expanding, there's some confusion with Edward's shipment. And it's all fucked up.
No. First of all, I have so many thoughts about the railroad. A, as soon as I see the train on Walnut Grove, all I think about is who's going to take advantage of the poor / workers. Right? Because like that there is like,
yes.
It's the living like embodiment. Character of capitalism mm-hmm. in this series. And then the other thing is, okay, so they have an express shipment. And the dude says, oh, the express shipment is on the president's special, which is coming up after this current train. Why would you mm-hmm. put the express shipment on the later train?
I don't know.
That's what I was freaking out about that I want to talk about
Jenny,
yesterday.
When he says the president, it's on the president's special, what does hey everybody ask?
The president of the United States?
What a moron. He's like, hey everybody, is my shit on the president's train?
Oh
like he
God.
Honestly thinks, who's the president this time?
What year is it?
Oh, it's like 1889, 1890, something like that.
Oh, my God. Harrison. Benjamin Harrison.
Oh, I was going to say, not
Not William Henry. I mean, you'd have to look up what month it is. But he won in 1888. Is it that early?
I don't know.
I think Grover Cleveland is probably still president. Time means nothing. Because I don't think it's 88 yet. Because Rose was born in like 86.
Okay, time means nothing. So anyway, Manly thinks that Grover Cleveland is on this train bringing in his shipment from Sleepy Eye. Let that sink in, guys. The conductor literally rolls his eyes and kind of chuckles and is like, no, of course not, dude.
No, dude.
It's Mr. Hollingsworth, the president of the railroad. Now, the president arrives and Edwards and hey, everybody. I'm just going to say Manly. But I have him abbreviated in my notes as hey, everybody.
Which is he.
Yes. The president arrives and Edwards and Manly are asking about a shipment for Walnut Grove when Collingsworth overhears. Hollingsworth? Is it Hollingsworth or Collingsworth?
Hollingsworth.
Oh, shit. I have it wrong through the whole thing.
Great.
Hollingsworth overhears and
you're literally reading it on the screen. How can you mess this up?
I wrote Collingsworth.
All right.
So they go inside his train car. So president's like, hey, you two, come here. Let me talk to you.
First of all, can we discuss that Walnut Grove is trending?
It is trending. He overhears it. Jenny, this train car looks like something out of Trump Tower.
It's ridiculous. It's like, so, first of all, Hollingsworth. No, and I was saying, I know you're reading it from your notes, but how'd you fuck it up in your notes when you're reading it from the TV?
Oh, because I'm an idiot.
But this guy is like the classic, like you could just tell they have in the costume department, like evil businessman suit. And like they just pull it out and it has the top hat and like the pocket watch and the vest. Yep. And then they like the set design is like evil rich people and they just pull out like all the drapery and put it in. Antique tables and leaded glass.
Yep. Yep. So, Jen, he offers them a drink, and what does Edward say?
Edward says, I used to. They ask if they want some alcohol or some liquor.
And Manly says, no, I don't drink.
He's like, and Edwards is like, I used to, but it kind of backfired on me. And I want to propose, like, AA's new slogan. I used to like liquor, but it kind of backfired on me.
I'm like, it kind of backfired on you. Like,
first of all, that's the understatement of the century. That's the understatement of the century.
All right.
Did people actually die or did people almost die? Albert almost died.
Albert, yeah, that's true. He almost died. He dies later as a direct result of this, we think.
Oh, because he gets hooked on the drugs.
Right. But there's some, I don't know, there's some controversy as to whether Albert dies or not. So we'll have to get there when we get there. Okay, so Manly's like, must be nice to have money. And Edward says, money can't buy you happiness, but you can look for it in nicer places. Kind of like that. I'm using it. I am convinced that Mr. Edwards is writing his own dialogue.
Well, as soon as they got walked into this train car that's like ridiculously elaborate, I'm like, uh-huh. Who are they getting used by? Like, they should be immediately suspicious.
Hollingsworth informs them they are planning to run a rail station right through Walnut Grove. And it'll mean big money and big things for Walnut Grove. And Manly's like, hey, everybody, how can we help you dupe our neighbors and loved ones? He's just like into this, dude.
Exactly. He's like, I'm sure everyone will want to help. And you could tell the guy is like fucking, what's his name? What's his name?
From the Mr. Burns.
The guy's like, Mr. Burns, like, excellent.
So I just wrote, where's Charles? He would have seen right through this.
Yes. Because I count on Edwards to not be duped by, like, criminals and, like, shysters, but like not businessmen. I feel like he gets duped by businessmen and like
you
bankers.
You need Charles and his libertarian sense.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Okay. So he's the railroad dude says, I need your help in buttering up people so like we could get our land easements and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Then we meet Mr. Wilkins. Now he's the superintendent of construction. So he's like the foreman.
Yeah. So he's going to be a dickbag.
Mm-hmm. And he thanks them for helping out. And
he has to get the job done. It's all on his back.
Yep. And Manly's like, no. Thank you, big corporation. Thank you for the opportunity to lose our houses. So we cut to Walnut Grove and they're raising a welcome banner for the Minneapolis and Western Railroad. Is that what you're doing in your index
card? Nope, that's not it. There's a clear, okay. obvious one here. That's
guys, we it. Are going to do a live index card. So this is going to be interesting. Harriet says, the railroad deserves a warm welcome. They're going to help them emerge from the dark ages. Maybe even bring in some culture. Doc Baker's there. He's all for this.
Oh my God, he's a total futurist.
I think
maybe there'll actually be a fucking hospital and everyone won't die in his watch. Maybe that's why he's excited. I think
he wants them to bring in more professionals.
He's like, then I don't have to do any work.
Harriet's excited because she thinks they're going to get an art museum and a theater. And Jen, who's skeptical? Who is the voice of reason here?
Laura.
She has been trained well by her pa.
She's skeptical. But I like how Doc brings up that there's going to be competition for Olson's. Because I'm like, Laura's, as she's talking about this, I'm like, she realizes other stores are going to come in.
Yeah, Laura's just like, this is sus. Like, mm-hmm. this is not going to end well.
Laura's the true Gen Xer in the room.
I just wrote, Laura has some unresolved railroad trauma from her childhood.
Well, and she's, I think, like, Laura's the voice of Gen X in this whole thing. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, seems too good to be true.
Yes. So Edwards pulls Manly aside and he's like, we need to find a way to get that railroad contract to supply them with lumber. Can you commit to, quote, extremely hard care work?
Hardcore work.
Hardcore work. Jenny didn't know that that was from Twitter, guys. The Elon Musk memo, which was like, we're taking, I swear to God, he did 6 lines of coke and sent this memo.
I'm sure.
Like, we're taking Tesla, or I'm sorry, we're taking Twitter to a whole new level. Can you commit to extremely hardcore work? And if you can't, you have to leave.
It's like, dude, I get it when you're trying to put a rocket on the moon. I get it.
Right.
This
right.
is Twitter. Calm down.
So Manly's like, yes, Elon Musk, I can commit to extremely hardcore work. Because Edwards is like, you're going to have to work day and night.
Like, well, this and Edwards is like, I'll put together a proposal. Suddenly he's like a mathematician.
Can he even write?
I don't know. Okay.
Now the construction workers have set up camp right outside of town. And Jen, they have like a makeshift saloon. And I wrote, I don't know what this means, but I wrote, they're all ragtag.
I don't know. But like Rev is wandering around out here, snooping around.
Rev is not wandering around. Rev is judging. He's walking around judging.
Rev is like hovering. And mm-hmm. his main job is apparently to stomp out the fun.
Yes. He is not happy with this saloon. And the foreman is like, dude, we're working extremely hardcore. We need a place to drink and chill. Yep. And I just wrote, this is like some kind of rave happening.
And you could tell the guy was just like, we'll go to hell. We don't care. Like, whatever. Fine. Yeah.
He's like, whatever. Take your judgment somewhere else. So Laura is telling Manly, like, she's really concerned that they're going to turn into the next Chicago.
Yeah, I feel like that's not going to happen.
And Manly's like, look, this is going to be good. I'm going to make a boatload of money from the lumber here.
We know Manly can never, he just never can make the deal.
No, he can never be closing is his
motto. He's not a closer. He's not a closer.
So Laura brings up the railroad embargo. Again, we have her unprocessed trauma.
Yes.
So the railroad men are saying they need to take the Carter Farm, which is the Ingalls Farm. Thank you very much. And possibly Hey Everybody's Farm.
Yep.
So now let's see how you like them railroad tracks, buddy.
Yeah. How you like them railroad tracks?
They're going to put the depot out here. And they're like, one of the dudes is like, well, Mr. Wilder's completely on our side and said he would help us. So he's going to give up his house, I'm assuming.
His room, not his house.
He has a one room house, right?
They just built that. They might as well sell it and move on. Why not?
They just built it. The next morning, Willie is late for school and almost runs over Rev.
And Rev is haunting the town.
Oh, Jenny did some research on how old Willie is. What'd you come up with?
Okay, because he's been in school for 600 years. I blame this on the bad writing.
Of course.
Because they were all like within a year or two of each. They were all within like 2 or 3 years of each other, like age-wise.
Right.
And then everyone else moved on and like opened businesses, got married, had kids, built houses, and Willie's still in school. So I'm like, there's got to be like 8 years between them.
Yeah.
Willie is, the actor is 15.
So Laura was 16 when she married Manly.
Yeah. Right. So he's
that
like
was at least a year or two ago.
That's what I mean. Like the timeline on the show makes him like 19.
So Rev is there with Harriet, and Harriet's talking about how great the railroad is, and two drunks stumble out of the restaurant behind her. Now keep in mind it's morning.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So at the Carters, we have the foreman out there shaking them down.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, we need your land. And John Carter's like, can I just have a little bit to think about it? And Foreman's like, no, dude, we're tearing down the drama barn.
The thing about this is like the foreman is such an idiot. Like, I feel like John Carter was seriously thinking about it. But then like he got all like, we're taking your land no matter what. And then, of course, somebody's going to get all like, you're not taking my land. Like, just see what decision they make before you use the hammer. They might make the right decision.
Well, now we have.
Or they might make the decision you think is right. Like, just let it go.
We have this scene, and I'm ready to just burn everything to the ground when this happens. They are trying to force John and Sarah Carter on us as some kind of replacement for Charles and Caroline.
Yeah.
And it's not happening. I'm not accepting it. It's not happening. Okay. So they're trying to replace these people in our viewership, and I'm not having it. They do not have the same relationship that Charles and Caroline had, the magic, the
romance.
First of
all, you don't know anything about them. We've seen Charles and Caroline for like 8 years, and like these guys for like 2 episodes.
And they just plucked these two yokels in.
Okay.
I don't want it.
I don't know why Lauren Manley just didn't move into the little house.
I know, it's so weird.
Like their house burned down or some shit, or blew down. And then Charles and Carolyn leave him. Why didn't they just go there?
I don't know. Little Rose could grow up in the balcony. I don't know.
The balcony. Wow.
The loft. At the mill, I just wrote, please tell me they didn't start milling all this lumber without getting the contract. Because we just see a big pile of lumber.
Well, but to be fair, it's lumber. Like, you could give that to any contract. It's not like it's custom.
The foreman heads over and they think he's there to order the lumber. And yep. Edward's like, I done some figuring. Here's some figuring. I can't even imagine what that looks like. It probably looks like serial killer math. It's probably like. And the foreman's like, no, dude, we do our own lumber. Like, no thanks.
Because, of course, they own a subsidiary that's a lumber company. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why we have monopoly laws now.
Yep. So the foreman's like, we need your farm, Mr. Wilder. And here's the bill of sale. Let's just sign it and get it done right now.
Yeah. So and they're offering like, $1,200.
He's like, I think you'll see we have a fair price. And Edward steps up and he's like, that's a shit price, dude. Like, he could get twice that.
Let me look at what that is today. So $1,200.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So that's about $30,000.
Oh my god.
In today's money.
The railroad pulls out eminent domain.
I have an index card.
Okay, let's do it live.
I can't believe we're doing this. It's so fucking stupid.
Jenny, what is eminent domain?
Well, my understanding of it is that it's that the government, the U.S. government, I think it's just the federal government, but I'm clear if the states have the same right. That's what I have to look up. They reserve the right to take private land from people if it benefits the broader goods. Like if they want to like re-divert a river or, you know, like to fill reservoirs, or if they want to build a reservoir. Like I think they did this when they flooded a lot of towns and like made lakes and reservoirs. Mm-hmm. And like definitely for building the railroad. So they can seize private land. I believe, and I hope
this
is true.
I want to say it started around Reconstruction.
Oh yeah, probably. I believe they have to. Okay, here. So just the definition: the right of the government or its agent to take private property for public use with the payment of compensation. I think they have to pay like a certain, like the going rate. Like they can't undersell you.
Mm-hmm. I believe it started in 1879.
1879.
And the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution says nor shall private property be taken for public use without compensation. Just, so they used to just be able to take.
Without just compensation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it has to be fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
It's long been used in the U.S. to acquire property for public use.
Oh, I'm sorry. It goes back as far as 1875.
Okay.
So right after the war.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court again acknowledged the existence of condemnation authority 20 years later in the United States versus Gettysburg Electric Railroad Company. Congress wanted to acquire land to preserve the site of the Gettysburg Battle in Pennsylvania. The railroad company that owned some of the property in question contested this. Ultimately, the court opined that the federal government has the power to condemn the property.
Wow. Oh, so that's... Wow.
Yeah. Go on with your...
The U.S. Supreme Court first examined federal eminent domain power in 1876 in Cole versus the United States. This case presented a landowner's challenge to the power of the United States to condemn land in Cincinnati, Ohio, for use as a custom house and post office building. Justice William Strong called the authority of the federal government to appropriate property for public uses essential to its independence, existence, and perpetuity. Wow.
Hmm.
But that is not like... They had the right to condemn it?
I guess.
But now that's not the case now. So that must have been how it started in the 70s. But when did it change to you get fair price?
Here, I have it. Eminent domain grants a government the right to take over a property. Condemnation is the term used when they are actually taking it over.
Oh, okay.
So condemnation is the acquisition or taking of private property for public purpose. The right to condemn is sometimes referred to as the right of or power of eminent domain.
They used it a lot for national parks too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't think they ripped down a lot of houses for that. They probably just, maybe some people own some land around it.
No. So do states have the power?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, we should start a podcast called Two Sisters Google. And it's like in real time, you see us learn about things.
This is really pathetic. I'm disgraced, but I blame this on you.
So we had a review come in over the weekend, guys. 5-star review. Thank you very much. That said, hot take, more note cards.
Did it say note cards or index cards?
I don't know. Now I have to look that up.
It said index cards. God. So in honor of that review, we're just going to do one for 25 minutes now because we don't have time to edit it or write it down.
It does say more index cards. It does say more index cards.
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah. I was hoping they got it wrong because that would just be great.
Eminent domain is a power of local and state governments as well.
Oh, yeah, I believe that because this is happening by us right now. They're expanding the turnpike. They're like making it easier to get on and off. And they're taking some houses and people are on the news and they're pissed about it.
Okay, so I have a question. For as long as I can remember, there has been the threat of a train to New York City going from Scranton. And I heard, I don't know, maybe in the 90s, that this was blocked by a couple people's property that they wouldn't sell. But, I mean, it sounds like they would have been able to do eminent domain on these people.
No, it was part of... So the holdup was a certain piece of rail that they couldn't get access to that another rail company owned. And I want to say it was in New Jersey.
Jesus. Yeah. So that held up this project for 25 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Like, and I thought I had delays on some of my projects.
Okay. So that's eminent domain. So we got it. All right. So this dude tells John Carter.
That concludes our live index card.
This dude tells John Carter, get a fucking lawyer if you don't like it. Lawyer up. I don't know what lawyer to tell up. You. See you in 2 weeks, motherfucker.
That didn't take long. Off. Everyone's lawyering up.
So now, hey, everybody heads over to the Carters and he asks them to team up to see a lawyer in Sleepy Eye. Jen, where's Adam?
I thought they had a lawyer in their family.
They do. Where's Adam? He is useless even when he's not on the screen. Okay. So Carter's like, I'm fucking staying here. And he actually says, like, I don't know what's going on with this country right now.
Get used and to it, dude.
Fake Charles and Carolyn have a touching moment. And I just wrote, nope, nope, won't work. Now they get to Sleepy Eye and the lawyer's like, sorry, there's nothing I could do for you. Like, this is eminent domain. The government can do what they want. You can't do anything. You could probably tie it up in court, try to fight it, but you're probably going to lose. Not going to lie. Now at the Mercantile, Harriet is on the side of the railroad. Of course.
Of course.
Of course she is. I swear to God, she watches Halloween and roots for Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
She's on the side of COVID-19. So Rev is really struggling with this. He's like, I don't know what's happening. He was giving stink eye to
him and Nels were giving side-eyed and shade, like hard.
Yeah.
To like the railroad dude when he walked in.
So the railroad dude, this is the second in command. So I call him number two. His name is Hobson, but I'm gonna call him number two. Number two, Jen, is having a crisis of conscience.
Yes.
And he corners Rev outside and he's like, I don't like doing this. Like at first it was all about empire the surveyor. Building. Yes. But he's like, now we're dealing with people here and it's not cool. And they're treating people like obstacles, like they could just move them aside. And, you know, something. And Rev is like, I love you. Let's be besties.
Amy's
like, literally calls him his friend.
Amy utters at this point, this guy's a narc.
I do have written here, narc. So in bed at home, Laura is getting all libertarian. She's like, I can't believe what's happening in this country. You could work your whole life. And then they come along and they take it. It's not right. Everybody has their right to their property.
Literally how our country started. But anyway.
Yes. Yes. And hey, everybody says, I wouldn't take 10 times this offer.
First of all, a couple of things here. The U.S. government took everyone's land. Because people lived here before white people.
Yes.
So let's just be clear about that.
Yes.
Second, if someone comes along and offers me 10 times the value of my house, I'm moving out that second.
If somebody offers to the bank, me 1.5 times my house.
Like 10 times the... Could you imagine if they offered you 10 times what your house is worth? You'd be gone. Anyone would be gone a second.
Anybody. So Manly says, this land is part of us. I'm not selling. Maybe you and the baby, though, should peace out because shit might get real rough.
Laura he's gonna says, buckle down and fight the railroad. He'll be dead in 5 minutes. He needs Laura. Come on.
Now Laura does not say this, but I'm gonna put words in Laura's mouth here. This is what Laura should have said. Who the fuck do you think you're talking to, dude? I had a murderer in this house last week while you were 2 miles away looking at footprints.
She like fought murderers.
I
like,
can handle
she's fought bank
shit.
Robbers when she was like 12.
My God. So now we see Hester Sue. Overwhelmed, which is rare in the restaurant.
Yes. Yep.
She's calling Harriet because the restaurant is overrun with railroad guys. Then we see some weird scene where they're setting us up for a fight. I don't know. That was weird. And then they just dropped it. Now the stagecoach pulls up. And
but can we discuss that that miserable customer that used to fight with Nellie is still there?
He's still there.
He's still there.
Stagecoach pulls up, and Jen, it's Saloon Girls.
Where's Carl's Jr. now?
Yeah, but you know who's there? Willie. And what does he say?
I don't know. He said something about Nancy, though.
I don't know. This is what I heard.
Okay.
I hope Nancy grows up to look like them.
Wow.
Or yeah, is like Nancy going to grow up to look like them? Something like
or
that.
Or maybe she's never going to grow up to look like them.
I don't know.
Hard to say, really.
I don't know. Back in the saloon, we pick up on the dropped fight scene, and they start fighting, these two railroad
First of all,
dudes.
It's Caroline's. It's not the saloon.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Yes, the restaurant. They're treating it like a saloon, but it's a restaurant. Some dude is thrown right through the front window.
I feel like Harriet would have thrown a bigger fit than she did.
Well, she was trying to keep her cool in front of the new arrivals in Walnut Grove. Jen, we learn in this scene that Doc Baker is running an Airbnb out of his office.
Yes, he is.
He's got a room for rent above his space. And if you don't mind the sound of moaning patients and rotting corpses, you can rent one too.
Yeah.
So at the mill, the foreman comes out to pick up his signed bill of sale. He's like, where is it? Where is it? And Manley's like, I'm not doing it. You're not getting our land. Guess what? You're just not. And Edwards is there with his arms folded, giving the stink eye. Like,
well, Manley gets threatened. And then Edwards like counter threats.
Of course he does. In what is the most blasphemous scene of the entire episode, this wannabe Charles Ingalls, John Carter, is in his drama barn making furniture. I am enraged by this.
Was he making furniture?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't even notice.
And I wrote, I have to draw the line here. I'm done with this. So his wife comes out. I forget her name, Sarah. They go walk into the house, and all of a sudden the foreman shows up. It's dark. He's all menacing. And he's like, give me the bill of sale.
He was like lurking in the shadows.
It was creepy. And Jen, the horse was neighing again. Were you freaked out?
Oh boy. Okay.
So he goes, Sarah, get my gun and get the bill of sale. Rips it up, gives it to the foreman. And the foreman's like, you're making a big mistake. And he rides off. Now Hollingsworth shows up at the job site. And number two tells him he's concerned about the farmers. And Hollingsworth says, you guys know what you have to do. You know what to do. You know what to do. That night, the Carters hear something outside, and John thinks maybe he didn't latch the barn door shut.
Never go outside.
What does he do?
Never go outside without a gun in 1887 or whenever this is.
Especially when you hear a horse neigh. So he goes out. No gun. Just checking up. And Jen, who shows up? Two dudes with KKK masks on.
They're not That's KKK masks, but they kind of look like it. Yeah. I'm like, is this the Klan?
The pillowcase.
It's a pillowcase.
Potato sack, whatever.
Potato sack. It's a potato sack.
Hoods that they used to wear then just freak me out.
Freak
they
me out. Freak me totally out. Freak me out.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, Sarah hears the door slam. So she has drifted back to sleep.
Yeah.
So
he left and didn't come back.
She witnessed her husband being threatened. They hear a noise in the middle of the night. He heads out, never comes back. She just drifts back to sleep.
But I feel like people slept better in these days. Like
they
just
worked like dogs.
So they just like, they would fall asleep from exhaustion all the time, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unlike us, that we're like, shh, shh, there's a sound. I'm awake for 4 more hours. But here's the quote I have for here. The night is dark and full of terror. Do you remember that?
The night is dark and full of terror. That's a song.
No.
No? What is it?
Yeah, it's an Ozzy Osbourne song. No, it's from Melisandre. I remember Melisandre from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes. Okay,
who was one of my favorite characters, and she would always say that.
All right, Jenny. So, bottom line, John gets the shit kicked out of him. Now, the next day at Baker's, there's a crowd at Baker's. Laura,
I have a question.
Carter's, Rev, number two comes in.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is there a scanner in Walnut Grove? Like, whenever anyone ends up in the quote-unquote emergency room in Doc Baker's, like, everyone seems to know instantly.
Well, maybe they just tell Harriet.
Yeah, there
she
you go.
She runs around telling everybody. Doc says Carter's going to be okay, no broken bones, but number two says some deputized hooligans just rode out to that Carter farm to take possession. I wrote, where are the kids?
The kids Sarah have not been Carter seen the whole are, time.
Sarah and John Carter are both at Doc Baker's.
Nope.
These maniacs are driving out to the farm to take it over. Where's yep. Jason's Jr.?
There's Is no mention of the kids at all. There's no mention of the kids nope, at all.
We don't know where they
like,
are.
Like, if they were good writers, they would say, they would have them have a little conversation where they're like, oh, thank God our kids are with your brother in mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sleepy eye.
So number two says, well, Manly's like, what can we do to stop this? What can we do here? And number two says, the Carter farm is the key to everything. Reminded me of that line from Zelda. It is the secret to everybody, right? Or to everything. Without it, they would have to run the track through Tracy. And Manly's like, okay, I have a plan.
Okay. Okay. Is Manly going to dress up like a ghost a la Butler at a Scooby-Doo mansion? Like, so they think it's haunted and then they go somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. So he's sending number two out to get Tracy surveyed and get a feasibility study. Now, I told Jenny, local construction crews are doing a feasibility study here of widening 81, and we're on year 9 of that. So the fact that this guy gets this done in 2 weeks, yeah, not even right, a no week, way. Is amazing.
I mean, there was just dirt and trees then, though, also. So
it's true. At the Carter farm, so the plan is Manly's going to stall while this guy's off getting it surveyed.
Yeah.
At the Carter farm, hey, everybody shows up, and one of the railroad people are there. And he's like, hey, everybody, I brought you some fried chicken! And I was like, I could use some fried chicken.
Oh, I love fried chicken.
Just then, Edwards and a bunch of people jump out of the back of Manly's wagon, and John Carter's there with bandages.
Amy was dying. Amy was dying when that happened.
So Edwards holds his gun on this dude, and Manly's like, you want that chicken to be your last meal?
So they dupe them with fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. I could be duped with fried chicken.
Yeah, I could be duped by fried chicken, yeah, too.
Easily. So now we see the foreman with Hollingsworth, who's like, we got to get this done without any killings. Why don't you get me the wife of the men who are holding the Carter place? So this is the plan. The men are all there holding these two idiots captive in the right. Carter house. So Hollingsworth gets all the women together in the church, and he's mansplaining how the railroad is going to do what they want no matter what.
Right, like, we may kill your husbands. He's not saying that, but, right. Yeah.
And he's like, can you little ladies go out there and talk to your men?
And I also feel like some of the little ladies are like, what are you going to do? You're going to kill my husband.
Jen, he says little ladies. We're not ad-libbing that, guys. He says it. Then he's like, you have till 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And he leaves. And Laura's like, fuck this. Because now off, Laura is starting up a posse.
She is.
Now we see the men, the railroad men, all surrounding the place. And they're just waiting. And the women show up in a wagon. And Hollingsworth is like, oh, thank God. The women are here to talk to the men.
The women are here. Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing Laura realizes, which I think she understands to use to her advantage, is like, they were hesitant about attacking the men because that's going to look bad. But they're never going to attack the women. That would be... like, devastating.
They consider it.
we'll get to that. But, like, you know, they're the railroad and they can do whatever they want. But, like, that specific railroad company, like, can be replaced. You know yes. what I mean? So, like, the yep. railroad, quote unquote, the institution of the railroad yeah. would go on. But, like, that Hollingsworth could be gone at the very least.
Agreed. Right? So the men come flying out of the house and Manly's yelling, what are you women doing here?
Oh, God. Saving your asses. That's what they're doing there.
And Laura yells to Hollingsworth up on the hill, we own this land as much as the men do. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Nope. And you cannot have it. And she has a gun.
Have you worked as hard on this land? Absolutely. But right, you definitely don't own it as much.
But unfortunately, you're not allowed to own it.
And I just have hashtag women of Walnut Grove.
Yep. So she has a gun and she's like, you want this land? You're going to have to come and take it.
Fuck off. Big fuck you from Laura.
I just wrote Manly's all turned up.
Well, I love how Laura's like a big fuck you to him. And then Wilkins is like, looks at Hollingsworth like, well, like, what do you want me to do here? Like, he was all ready to just like kill all
Foreman
of them.
Foreman was ready to go in. And Hollingsworth
he was kind of like, should
like,
I just kill a bunch of women?
And number two steps up and says, you really can't afford the negative press, killing a bunch of women.
Jesus, yeah.
So there might be another way. And he whips out the survey results from Tracy.
He's throwing cost-benefit analysis at this guy right and left.
Yeah. So Hollingsworth just literally goes, all right, let's go to Tracy. Would never happen.
Well, because he's like, but he's like, he argues the sunken cost fallacy, where he's like, I already put a bunch of money into Walnut Grove. Like, why wouldn't it? And then
number two.
What's his name?
Number two
is like, well, but, you know, long delay, the more days this goes on, the more that's got, like, eventually you're going to, like, outweigh those.
Right. Like, we're going to have to clean up all these dead bodies and shit.
Yeah. That's, and, like, a massacre just doesn't look good.
So I wrote, that was easy. The men just retreat and Narc gives himself away by riding up. Narc number two rides right up to the men and women. And he's like, I guess you won. Hope you enjoy it. Wink, wink. It was so weird. So weird. Now at the restaurant, everyone is eating and the foreman comes in to settle his account. Carter follows him into the street, pops him in the fucking face. Yeah. And he says, small farmers like us are always going to beat you. Always. Because we love this country and we love this land.
There you go.
Now, end Laura voiceover. The train went through Tracy and it became a boom town with gamblers, drifters, and the like. Jenny, what group do you belong to there? The like?
Definitely mm-hmm. the like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walnut Grove remained the same, a simple little town where people took care of each other and loved the land. That's it. Jenny, whose fault is this?
Almanzo and Edwards. For getting duped right from the beginning.
Yeah, they should have been like, I could tell you right now, you're not going to be able to put that railroad through Walnut Grove.
They should have been like, I know that place, just go to Tracy.
But you know what it is? I think they got Edwards with the premise or the promise of a saloon.
A promise mm-hmm. of a saloon. Because mm-hmm. he could tell when they were talking about that. He knows what it means if the railroad's going through. And you could tell he was already conflicted about not drinking. You could just see it in his face.
All right, Jenny, at the end of every episode, we look back on a theme or a lesson, something we take from the rewatch or something we remember from when we saw it the first time. We called our wives, designed to finish the sentence, Gen X, this is why. What is your why for this episode and did you remember it?
I sort of remembered it. This is why we thought the small guy would always win. Because that's what I have big railroad, but really corporations and capitalists wanted us to believe. Absolutely not true.
You think capitalists wanted us to believe the little guy would always win?
Well, like that we could do it, but like ultimately that's not reality.
That's not reality.
No. I guess I'm saying it wrong. I guess they wanted us to believe that that's true, that that's happening, but it's not.
No, like, this would never have happened. Anything.
This absolutely would not have happened.
No, 100%. They would have taken it.
Like, they happen to have another easy way to go, but if they didn't, they absolutely would have taken it. They probably would have murdered them.
And how do they know they're not going to face the same resistance in Tracy?
I know. Well, I guess it was going through it wasn't going right through the middle of farms.
So who did this original feasibility study? Because they fucked it all up.
They fucked up. Yeah, because like you have to imagine you're going to get pushback if you're going through the middle of a bunch of people's land. But like the thing is, like, they didn't have to kill them. They just had to start building the railroad. Like, what are they going to do?
Right.
They just had to seize the land, and then now they're trespassers on it. You just call the law in to remove them. Like, well, they didn't have to murder them. You know what I mean? There's all these, like, false stakes. That's, like, one thing that I feel like Little House is good at. Like false stakes.
True. I have... This is a pet peeve of mine. And we see it even today. Nobody owns patriotism in this country. Like, this whole...
Everyone
like,
thinks they own patriotism in this country.
This whole, like, we are... The farmers will win because we love America. We love the land. Yeah. Like, no. Everybody who's here, presumably, could love America.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't belong to you. Like, we get this idea of we're the true patriots because we believe X, Y, Z. Like, no, that's not true at all. Like, patriotism is not something you own.
Yeah.
It's something we can all have.
Yeah.
It's not
it's not patriot pie.
There's not a finite supply.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Why it's not bi.
And it drives me nuts. And you see that here. Like, just this Laura voiceover even. Like,
where are the Patriots? Tracy's not.
We're the Patriots because we love the land.
So, and like, Tracy let them build a railroad through it, their town. So
yeah, so anybody who is, you know, for progress, or I'm not talking about, like, the level of the railroad. Mm-hmm. But even that, like, some people might argue that the railroads open this country up.
Yeah, yep.
And, you know, we're a good thing for this country.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the whole buffalo rides when they were just shooting buffalo out the window through the Great Plains wasn't great.
I mean, there's a lot of problematic history.
Wasn't great. But my point is, who are you to say that a person who supports the railroad is less patriotic than you?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's bullshit. And by this definition, then what are you saying? All city dwellers don't love America because you have to love the land? Right. This drives me crazy. Guys, don't be this person. Don't be this person that's like, I am a true American and I love this country more than you.
I think you need to think about patriotism like faith in a way where it's like everyone has their own personal relationship with it and like expresses it in their own way or doesn't.
Yeah. Like, there are times where I've taken heat for being critical of certain things in this country. And it's like, no, I love this country. Yeah. That's why I think it can and should be better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I just was resigned to, like, it's a shithole, then I wouldn't care.
Right.
Ugh, drives me nuts. Okay. Jenny, tell everybody what we have coming up next, please. And let's end this episode.
Oh, my God. This episode's over. So the next one coming up. Are we doing 10?
Yeah.
Laura's childhood friend, Jane Canfield, comes back to Walnut Grove. Despite being blind, she develops a fondness for Isaiah Edwards, who is twice her age, and the two fall in love. Jane's vision is restored when she receives eye surgery. Uh-oh. Isaiah's hopeful about building a future with her, but negative input from his friends turns into one of the most difficult decisions of his life.
Oh my God, Jenny, is this going to answer the eternal question being asked by Nick and Vanessa? What is their name?
Lachey.
Is love blind?
I have to see that new season.
So we have Love is Blind Walnut Grove style coming at you next.
Apparently.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, guys. If you haven't already, check out our Patreon. Link is in the show notes. We do 2 episodes a month there. Plus, you get early access to this at one of our tiers, and you get commercial free for everybody on Patreon. And happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one. I know it's over now, but we hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Jenny, are you going to come upstairs and help me cook now?
No.
You need to.
No.
You need to help me cook.
The reason I come here is so I don't have to cook anyone.
Guys, whatever. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order.
quince.com/style.